This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. We speak a lot about nutrition on this program, and for good reason. Nutrition is the foundation of health. As my guest has said to me many times before, it's the food, Charles, it's the food. So what is the food that is the food? Let's find out. Dr. John McDougall runs a live-in health-restoring program in Santa Rosa, California, and cares for patients using food as medicine. He also teaches medical doctors and students to avoid drugs and surgery and to view what's on our dinner plates as the cure for most common diseases. He's been a guest on this show many times before, and I always look forward to talking with him. Dr. John McDougall, welcome back to HeartWise.
Well, thank you very much. It's the same old stuff, though, Charles.
That's what I understand. In your recent book, you identified a particular carbohydrate that should serve as the cornerstone of our diets. What is it, and why should we care?
Starch. And actually, I've been talking about it for 40 years.
Yes.
Prior to that, you know, when your grandmother put the meal on the table, it was the starch they talked about. Mm. You know, we were having potatoes, or we're having rice, or we're having beans. You know, that was the main meal, and the word starch was commonplace, and so people could identify their food. Now they use a word called complex carbohydrate. Mm. What's a complex carbohydrate? Nobody knows, so they don't know what to put on their plate. And that was done intentionally, by the way. That was done by industry in 1977. They changed the nomenclature so that people really couldn't identify with what they're supposed to eat. The meat and the dairy industry, they have done that with meat and dairy and eggs. They call it saturated fat. Don't eat saturated fat. Well, what's a saturated fat? You know, I mean, really. I'm not going to eat any saturated fat. Pass the bacon. You know? So, yeah, it's done business-wise, so that they use careful language when they write the dietary guidelines for the United States. They make sure they don't put meat, dairy, and eggs when they talk about harmful foods. They say saturated fats.
Now, Dr. McDougall, let me clarify something here. Are there people in the industry, in the food industry, knowingly giving us bad things to eat? They know it, they know what it does to us, and they do it anyway?
Well, Charles, do you remember when they took those seven tobacco executives and they put them in front of Congress and they tried them for criminal behavior?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
The people in the meat industry, they deserve, and the egg industry and the dairy industry, they deserve the exact. They need to be brought to trial for their wrongdoings and punished. They do know that their foods are killing people, and not only do they know that, they pay huge amounts of money to get lobbyists to change the way our laws are made and influence anything that could good happen for the people of the United States. Yeah, they know what's going on, and you know, it's just business. You know, they're not trying to. This is not a conspiracy. It's just business. They just want to make products, and they want the good parts of their products to shine up, and the bad stuff to kind of go away.
Now, knowing this, knowing what we know, knowing what you put in your book, The Starch Solution, and what you've been saying for 40 years, knowing this, why is it so hard for the food industry to say, well, look, let's give them starch. Let's make rice and potatoes and all the starchy foods what we manufacture and give them to the people. Why can't we do that?
That's not where the money is. The money is with the beef and the fish and the chicken and ice cream and so on. That's where the money is. Mm. You know, those are the foods that you feed the cows. It's just money. Now, you know, there may be some attitudes of the public that carry on. You know, during the Depression back in the 1920s and 30s, things were pretty tough, and you were forced to eat turnips and potatoes. And when the good times came, you wanted to eat with the rest of the rich people. And so I know my parents, they had the attitude they wanted to make sure Johnny got all his calcium and all his protein, so my dad made sure he brought the bacon home to the table. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that, too, but it's mostly industry. They sell their products by unique positioning. What they do is they go out and they tell the public that they need a whole bunch of calcium. And guess where you find calcium? Even though there's never been a case of calcium deficiency ever reported in the world literature, the meat industry and the egg industry, they go out and they tell people they have to get protein. You know, that's really all you need to focus on in your diet is protein. And, of course, where do you get protein from? Poultry and beef and eggs. It's called unique positioning. They don't advertise the saturated fat, the cholesterol, the E. coli, the salmonella, the lack of dietary fiber, the imbalance in vitamins and minerals, and how these foods cause cancer and heart disease and obesity and type 2 diabetes. And they do. And there's just absolutely no question they do. The scientific literature is absolutely clear on this point. They may take and spin their own scientific literature, and they hire a whole bunch of scientists to do studies that are designed to show that the product's not so bad. Or you are looking in another direction for the problems. Don't look at our industry. It's business. It's just plain simple business. And the way people can fix it is they can become educated. Certainly the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a whole bunch of nutritional education that should be helping people. So you people could, if they wanted to, and if maybe got a little help from the government or other organizations, they could fix their problems really easy. The problems people have are due to food poisoning, just like smokers, they suffer from nicotine poisoning, and alcoholics suffer from alcohol poisoning. People who are eating the American diet suffer from food poisoning. Now, I've tried to make it real simple. There are two classes of food poisons. One is animal products. And that means all the way from the snail to the elephant. Mm-hmm. You don't eat animal products. And the second area of food poison is oil, vegetable oil, like corn oil, safflower oil, flaxseed oil, olive oil. These things are toxic to the body. And so, you know, I tell people there are two categories of food poison, and I list what those categories are and what they contain. Their next response is, I have nothing to eat. You just named everything I eat. Well, that's because they forgot starch. And it was industry's efforts that made them forget starch. So they don't know what starch is, and they think starches are bad for you. You hear, don't eat rice. Rice turns to sugar, which turns to fat, which makes you fat. And that is why 35 years ago we had 2 billion obese Asians living in the Far East. You know, I mean, the lies are so ridiculous that you would think a blind man could see them. It's just unbelievable. Starch makes you fat. Where was there ever a civilization in all of human history that lived on starch where the people were fat? The Mayans and the Aztecs, the people of the corn, the Incas, the people of potatoes. Just turn on TV tonight and look at the breadbasket of the world. That's the Middle East. And you'll see people from Syria and Egypt and Iraq and Iran. Even today, they're real thin people. You know, their kings and queens aren't thin. Their presidents and power leaders aren't thin because they're eating the American food. But the common person eats 71% of their diet as starch. So people have always lived on starch. All large, successful populations of people throughout all of verifiable human history have lived on one starch or another. And there were a few kings and queens that would eat the pigs and the cows and the fishes, and they got fat and sick, just like Americans. Now what's happened with the Industrial Revolution and the use of fossil fuels is almost everybody in the world can become looking like an aristocrat. And that's a problem, not only for the fat, sick people who have diabetes and breast cancer and colon cancer and heart disease, but for the planet, too. That kind of taking from the planet by raising livestock is the major controllable greenhouse gas factor, climate change factor. It is the thing that we can do most to change most to save the planet. You know, they just had a meeting in Paris where they talked about climate change and pat themselves on the back about we're going to have carbon control. But food was never discussed. Food, livestock, produces over half the greenhouse gases, and it was never on the table. But, you know, if it was on the table as a main objective to save planet Earth, which we may be able to do, probably not, but may be able to do, it would be the main thing to put our efforts into, because tonight, if the President Putin or Prime Minister Modi from India or Barack Obama from the United States or our other great leaders stood up and said, hey, folks, we know how to save the planet. We just stop eating beef and we start eating beans. You know, we stop eating pork, we start to eat peas. You know, it just, folks, no more rainbow trout. I mean, eat rice. You know, we could just say it's not only killing you folks, making you fat and ugly, keeping you tied to the doctor's offices and the surgeries and the hospitals. It's the major factor causing climate change. And if those messages got out this afternoon, by tomorrow morning, you know, three-quarters of the population that cares about their future, their children, their grandchildren, could switch the main source of their calories to starch. And everything would be better. The animals would be happier.
Yes.
The planet would recover greatly. You know, it would take you years and decades to change transportation. and get all the windmills and the solar panels you want up. But tomorrow, we could change the food. More than half the greenhouse gases are produced by the livestock industry.
We're talking with Dr. John McDougall. He is the author of the book, The START Solution, among other lots of other books, and also the director of a live-in health-restoring program in Santa Rosa, California. We'll take a short break. When we come back, Dr. McDougall, I want to ask you what happens when the people who are overweight and are struggling with their diseases come to you and sit down at your table. I want to know what their reaction is at the beginning and what their reaction is just 10 days later. Let's find out on our return, so stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your biblical prescription for life. Have you ever heard the phrase, laughter is the best medicine? Well, our biblical prescription for life today is found in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine. Numerous research has been done on laughter. And in fact, the Royal Society of Biological Sciences has shown that laughter decreases pain by increasing endorphins. It decreases the stress chemicals in the body and increases the immune system function. In fact, it even helps lower the risk of cardiovascular disease. Well, how can I plug into this biblical prescription? Well, think of three funny things. Read, watch, or listen to something funny. How about getting a pet? Hang around funny people. Or find other people who are laughing, as laughing is contagious. Or you can fake it until you make it. For more information, go to heartwiseministries.org.
After a recent screening of the documentary film Plant Pure Nation, viewers offered these insights.
The Whole Foods plant-based diet is absolutely 100%, hands down, something I would embrace all day, every day, and I have for the past 2 years. Never going back.
Well, I eat chicken at least once a day, or used to. I probably won't after tomorrow.
I think other people should watch the film because I think no matter who we are, we're all searching for the truth. We all know that there's something different, there's something more. So we want to feel vibrant. We want to feel beautiful from the inside out.
We're dying in the United States because of obesity, health challenges. Medicine doesn't cure anything. It simply treats symptoms as we keep getting fatter and fatter. We're spending huge amounts of money and not getting well. This is what we need. This will keep people healthier.
The movie was absolutely awesome. I heard about it in the paper. I'm really glad I came.
To learn more about the documentary film Plant Pure Nation and how you can make dramatic improvements to your own health, visit plantpurenation.com. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. John McDougall. He is the director of a live-in health-restoring program in Santa Rosa, California. I guess he's more than a director. He's the founder of the place. And he teaches people to use food as medicine. Dr. McDougall, someone walks into your program, and this person, he or she, is overweight, diabetes, heart disease, and whatnot. They sit down at their first meal there, and you've already said there's not going to be any animal products on that table. There's not going to be any oil on that table. What do they get, and how do they respond to begin with?
Well, first, I want to note, Charles, that the program is entirely free on my website, drmcdougall.com.
Yes.
And I would say 1,000 people change their diet from the website for not a penny.
Wow.
Compared to the people who come to my clinic. The clinic is a great place to change. You know, we have an amazing staff, and we have doctors there who take you off your medications when appropriate, and we feed people a healthy diet. So what they get is they get things like the first night of mashed potatoes and gravy and a fake-looking meatloaf that's actually not made of soy products. It's made with a little tofu and oats and amazing gravy. They hardly even know that they've made a change.
Yeah.
But we don't use isolated soy protein, fake meats, and fake cheeses.
Right.
We do use a little bit of tofu. We do use a little other grains. So that's what they get the first night, baked potatoes, various types of salads. And then other nights that follow, they get bean burritos and bean enchiladas. rice or couscous. It's an all-you-can-eat program. Uh-huh. Various kinds of vegetables over the top, and then they get some sauces at the end. And even though it's a very, very simple meal, it's the favorite meal of the program. Huh. They have oatmeal for breakfast and hash brown potatoes and really too many things for me to name, probably 300 different items. And what we tell them is they have to learn to like, you know, one or two things. Uh-huh. Like in my home, Mary and I typically eat beans and rice and kale or spinach. That would be our dinner in the evening, and we do that probably 4 out of 7 evenings. We always have oatmeal for breakfast with blueberries, and we have, you know, leftovers or Dr. McDougall's soups for lunch. Our meal plan is very, very simple. You should make your meal plan really simple. You know, sweet potatoes and broccoli, potatoes and asparagus, and a few sauces that you really like. Don't make a big deal out of this. Simple eating is very healthy eating. Now, you know, you talk about me using food as medicine. It kind of, I haven't addressed this before, but I'd kind of like to address it. People think of medicine, they think of some professional is administering some type of tonic or procedure to them. Mm-hmm. You know, you get an antibiotic for an infection. Using food as medicine is not really that. We don't give anything. We don't give a special herb to quiet the inflammation or that kind of thing. What we'll do is take away food poisons. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if somebody had lead poisoning and they're losing their fingernails and their hair, and you took away the lead. I mean, you didn't administer any medicine. You just took away the food poison.
This is true. Yeah.
And the body naturally heals. So food as medicine, well, in a sense, but not like people usually get medicine practiced on them. They have clogged heart arteries, and somebody comes in with a knife and tries to unclog their arteries and a catheter and so on. Well, that's doing something to somebody. That's not how we treat heart disease. We have them stop the food poison, and then the body naturally heals the arteries.
So what you don't eat is just as important as what you eat, you're saying?
Well, I don't want people to think of it as a medicine. Somebody has this special herb or leaf or something that they administer, and that somehow fixes them like an antibiotic would or a cardiovascular stent would. We don't go in and intervene in that sense. All we do is we stop the poisons. Mm. You know, like if somebody's chronically being poisoned with salmonella bacteria, we don't give antibiotics. We take away the source of the salmonella bacteria so they don't get poisoned over and over again. So, you know, medicine maybe, you know, but not like people usually think of it. Sure. All we do is let the body naturally heal by taking away the two categories of food poison, which are animal foods and oils. Now, some people think of the salt and sugar as food poison too, and it is in a sense, but it's so minor. Mm. Compared to eating the animal foods and eating the oils. So you could also add salt and sugar in there and minimize that. But we do use a little salt and sugar because we want the food to taste good.
Sure.
Food as medicine, you can think of it that way. I would rather think of it as just letting the body naturally heal by not poisoning it mouthful after mouthful, plateful after plateful all day long, and end up with rheumatoid arthritis and constipation. So when you stop these things, you don't add anything else. You just stop the food poison. So, yes, you do replace it with starch. I suppose you could say starch is the miracle pill. But starch is our natural diet. And then what happens is the body just heals, and people lose weight. We published a paper last fall where the average weight loss in 7 days was 3.1 pounds, and the average drop in cholesterol in 7 days was 23 points.
Wow. Wow.
And we got over 85% of people reduced or got them completely off their blood pressure and diabetic medications when they're type 2 diabetic. And our bowels start working, indigestion goes away, blood pressure drops 8/4 millimeters on average. But the most important thing is they reduce or get off their medication in most cases. And that's good. You know, you don't want to be tied to the medical business. You don't want to be sick. And the way you get sick is you stop poisoning yourself with animal foods and vegetable oils.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your wife, Mary, a couple times here. We just have a couple minutes left in the program. Tell us about Mary and how she supports you and how she came to support you in this program.
Well, Mary and I have been together 45 years now. And I got these ideas so probably 40 years ago about food and its importance in terms of health. And other people have had these same ideas, you know, Ellen White and Dennis Burkett and Nathan Pritikin and Walter Kempner. All kinds of people have had these ideas about how food was making people sick and how to get it better. Well, Mary played an important arm in this in that she is a talented cook. Mm-hmm. prior to her, there were low-fat recipe cookbooks. There were vegetarian and vegan cookbooks. But Mary developed the first low-fat vegan style of eating.
Hmm.
Okay, so no oil, pure vegan. And from that, from her invention, I guess that's the best word, because nobody had done it before, have come hundreds of websites and dozens of books following the same type of layout, because you have to have both.
Yes.
Remember I told you the two food poisons were animal foods, so you can have low-fat animal foods,
right,
and vegetable oils. You can be a vegan with a whole bunch of vegetable oil in your meal plan. You'll
yes.
be sick. You'll stay sick.
Absolutely.
So Mary was able, about, at least 40 years ago, to put together the first cookbook that avoided the two categories of food poison and was starch-based. And many people have followed, but I hope she gets that credit someday.
Well, she just did, absolutely. And I want to tell the listeners right now of that website, drmcdougall.com, drmcdougall.com. There's information about Dr. McDougall and his wife, Mary, and also the cookbooks are available there. And what else can we find at that website,
well,
Dr.
McDougall? There are probably 500 free recipes.
Wow.
There are articles on things that I've written that are all free, like on cancer and diabetes and high blood pressure and how to treat those diseases.
And why are you doing this? Why are you putting things up free, no charge?
Well, because I was given a great gift 40 years ago. I was given the gift of how to know how to eat. I was dying. I was had a stroke. I was 70 pounds overweight. I'd had major abdominal surgery. Before I was 25 years old, I was dying. And I was given this great gift, and, you know, the real joy in life is to give. So we just started giving it away free, and we started back when we developed our website maybe 15 years ago, and it's always felt good. And the return is huge, though, Charles. You know, you can't imagine the return we get in terms of people telling us what we've done for them, help them, and then people do come back for things that we do sell.
Yes.
And it's important for us to, you know, to have a business. We run these 10-day programs. We run weekends. We have a very special adventure trip coming up. It's a trip to Kauai, Hawaii.
Hmm.
So we're going to be taking about 60, 80 people there. So we do have parts of our business that earn income for us, as you would expect. But everything you want to know, all the recipes, all the techniques, everything you want to know, all the knowledge is absolutely free on the website. And I'd ask you to start one special place. It's really what I talk about most these days, and it's called Dr. McDougall's Color Picture Book on Food Poisoning and How to Cure It by Eating Beans, Corn, Rice, and Potatoes.
Yeah.
It's a 66-page color picture book. You hardly have any words to read at all. And it's in 22 different languages. So if you have friends in Bulgaria or China, you can have them read it. It's free on the website. It's called Dr. McDougall's Color Picture Book on Food Poisoning. That's a great place to start. It will all make sense to you once you read through those 66 pages.
Mm. Dr. John McDougall, founder director of the Live-In program there in Santa Rosa, California, and also the driving force behind Dr. McDougall, DrMcDougall, drmcdougall.com. Dr. McDougall, you have helped so many people, and I know in this program you've helped even some more. Thank you for being with us today.
It was a pleasure, Charles. I look forward to our next visit.
Absolutely. And then, listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. John McDougall inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.